Good morning. If you're visiting today, we're certainly happy that you decided to come and be with us. My name's Bill Greiner, and I'm the pastor here, and it's my privilege to be able to talk about the things that God wants us to be about in this world. Today's a special day in particular. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. You may not know, but Pastor Julie is, we've sent her to talk about things that are happening in Uganda with the Sears Church, and we're getting ready. You know, we're doing Faith Promise. We're talking about in another week we're going to start some classes for people who want to be baptized. There are two Sundays during the CE time. You can pick either one. If God's about eight, hello, there we go. Eight people have. Decided to follow Christ in baptism. If you have been thinking about this and haven't spoken to me, we would love to have you be a part of that special day. But it's also a special day because today is Robin and I's 29th anniversary. And really more for her. She had a little more to put up with than me, but you know, they said it wouldn't last. Well, nobody actually said that, but they thought it. You could see it in their eyes. They were concerned. Anyway, we're starting a new series, and today is kind of the foundation. Now, you may have seen this phrase, be a bridge, build a bridge. Maybe you're brand new, maybe you've been around here, but it, you know, you may have seen it all over the place. And we're going to be talking in the future about the next four sermons about culture change. But what we need to do first is talk about the target of what God has called us to be. And so we're going to be kind of unpacking this phrase, be a bridge, build a bridge. You may think, well, it sounds kind of repetitive, but we'll get to that of why you're kind of saying something similar but not exactly the same and saying it twice. But I want to give you a brief history, particularly if you're new, how we came about that as being our target, that as being our true north. As we're going to evaluate in staff and in elders everything, does it help us do that? And actually, our Faith Promise speaker today is really connecting with what we're supposed to be about. But several years ago, we went through a consultation with a group called Healthy Growing Churches. And after they took a good look at the staff and us and whatever, and then they gave us some things that we should think about. And then basically, they said to us, you know, you need to become more outwardly focused or you're going to die. And so, okay, all right, so what do we do? And so I needed to change. So I've tried to learn and grow and change, and still am, and to try to become a better leader. We also tried to come up with a phrase that encapsulated what kind of outwardly focused church we wanted to be. We didn't want to be inwardly focused. We didn't want to be ingrown and cliquish. We wanted to be about what God's doing in the world and the community. So we with much effort and prayer, we came up with this phrase. And today we're going to look at the scriptures that came out of. We didn't just make something out of thin air. It came directly from scripture. Then we totally restructured our church and how it operates in order to be able to be this. We looked at the way our church was how our governance was set up, and it really was getting in the way of us being more outwardly focused and changing in the way. So we totally changed the bylaws and everything. And then we looked at some things called core values that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks. Core values are those things that we value, hello, that are at our core. Yeah, I came up with that on my own, that little bit right there. But they define the kind of culture that we need to have in order to be that. And so we're going to be talking about it. So we did that. That was the next step. And then we went out to say, okay, we need to hire a particular type of person that's going to help us to do this. And you've been getting to know Matt and his wonderful family. And if you're involved, and he's also doing student ministries. So if you've got a middle school or a high school or in your home or in your neighborhood, you really need to meet Matt. And he's got a great team that he's putting together to work with students. And the next step that we're going to be doing in the next few months is working out a strategy of how we can be a bridge. I'll just tip my hand a little bit. Become a church of disciples who make disciples who make disciples. to the third and fourth generation. Not a church that programs those things, a church that develops people who are disciples, who make disciples. We're going to be working on strategy for that. And also, where Matt and a team of people are going to plant something outside of our regular campus and program that's going to be another platform for disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We're not sure what that's going to look like, and we're discerning where God wants to do that, us to do that. So that kind of gives you a historical perspective. So this today is about the foundation, what we're supposed to be about, our target, our mission, what we believe God wants to be. And then we're going to move into the next part of how we can have a kind of culture around here that doesn't fight against that. Because then that's a problem. If a company or a church or whatever has a clear mission, but the culture within it fights against, culture is going to win. So we're going to talk about that in the following 4 weeks afterward. But because you got to have a culture. Culture is attitudes and behaviors. You have to have attitudes and behaviors that reflect be a bridge and build a bridge. Now, you may not know what that means, but intuitively, you're getting a picture of that already in your head. And that's good. So we'll move into those, into that area here in just a moment. But that's what this series is going to be about. Now, we need to look at the scripture that this phrase came out of, because we can just start making stuff up, right? That sounds good. This came directly from scripture. And if we have an open Wi-Fi, and if you're visiting, we have within your worship folder, there is a outline that you can follow along and kind of engage your mind, maybe, if that helps you, if you're a note taker. But we have an open Wi-Fi, so I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, and it's also going to be up on the screen, but it's 2 Corinthians 5:16 through chapter 6, verse 2. This is one of those deals where the chapter break is not really the good place to break it. The thought continues to verse 2. But when I read this, I want you to look and think about, like if you're pulling up your phone or whatever, and it's obviously going to be up on the screen, I want you to look for repetition. Key phrases or words that keep coming over and over. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. And there's some issues there, and he's writing to them. And even if you want to, if you've got it on your phone or in your Bible and you want to mark some of those key words or highlight, that'd be great. But here's how it goes. So, we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one point, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. Paul is saying, our standards for success and failure were from a human perspective. Now, we look at things differently. And we look at Jesus differently and what he did on the cross. And it goes on. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you. On the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Did you pick up on a key word or phrase? What was it? Reconciliation. Over and over again. Even when the word's not being used, the idea is being developed all through these. Now, the word that is used in the original language for reconciliation has kind of a two-part definition. And so some of you kind of are going to intuitively pick up on this. Reconciliation is an accounting term. That, there's a bill, and then the money comes in, the pay for the bill, and then the columns match up, and then they're reconciled. The books are reconciled, okay? It's an accounting term. Bill had to be paid. It's also a relationship definition. You know, Hatfields and McCoys, or two people that are having trouble in their marriage, and they need there's something in the middle there. There's some issue that needs to be dealt with, and reconciliation is a relational term where two people or two groups of people come back together who were separated for whatever reason. Two enemies, two groups, something separates them. There's something keeping them apart that seems insurmountable. Reconciliation is when that is, hello, bridged. I'll just throw that out, maybe. Paul is saying that all of those who have had something in their accounting with God, their sin, that has created a debt or a bill that needs to be owed. Okay? Every one of us have thought, said, and done rotten, sinful things. All right? And that creates a debt. God is holy, and he has to deal with that, or he's not God. He's a fraud. If he doesn't deal with that accounting issue that our sin caused, then he's not really God, and he's not really holy, and he's not really good. So there's that God is going to, through Christ, has created where the books are clean, where the debt has been paid. So there's reconciliation. Also, the relationship is that the debt had caused a break in the relationship. The relationship is brought back together. So that's what reconciliation is all about. And what Paul is saying is because we've been reconciled, there's been a Christ has created a bridge between us and God. Now we're to be reconcilers. Bridges. That's what Paul's talking about. It's kind of like if you, it's silly to even bring it up because it never happens. Like if you, you know, borrowed money from a relative. I mean, again, it's silly to even bring it up. But if you borrowed money from a relative and you just weren't paying that back, the debt is an issue. But the break in the relationship that the debt will cause is an issue. That's where reconciliation is. That's where a bridge is. We've been reconciled, and so we can be reconcilers. If you get nothing else this morning, now this is not an okay to check out and start thinking about lunch. I'm not giving you permission yet. But if you get nothing else, that's where we have to start. That's what this has to do with bridges. There's an arbiter, that was Jesus. There's an ambassador who went between two warring countries, that's Jesus. All of that is Jesus. And he's the one that built the bridge, and therefore we can be bridges. We can connect people, like with our last series. We can be a path for people who need to find their way back to God. So let's look specifically at that be a bridge part. Now that we've got the context, now that we've got God's word, but what does it mean to be a bridge, and how is that different from building? There's some research that we've read before that establishes that in America, the church is not doing very good at, we've done real well at accepting that we've been reconciled. We haven't done very well at being bridges. And here's what it says. The hustle and bustle of daily life, this is from a Barna research group, daily life prevents many people who see themselves as religious or Christian, who acknowledge the significance of religion in their lives, from consciously thinking of themselves as representatives of Jesus Christ. People who consider themselves, they go to church, they consider themselves Christian, have struggle viewing themselves as representing Christ, wherever they are, school, work, whatever. 25% of adults, 27%, say that they always are mindful of being Christ's representatives, ambassadors, bridges. 1/6, 17%, say that they often are aware of that mantle. And then 1/4 are sometimes conscious of that privilege. The remaining 30% of the nation who claim to believe in God rarely or never think of themselves in that light. So only 25% of people like us in their daily life view themselves as representing Christ. Do you see how that just absolutely is a contradiction to the scripture we just read? Can we agree with that? That's an issue. The vast majority of us, either maybe often, which whatever that means, and seldom or never think about that. And that's what I want to dig into right now. We cannot be a bridge or reconcilers unless we can view ourselves and see ourselves as that. It's a change of the mind, all right? Here's what those scriptures say about you, okay? And then we're going to personalize. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. A new life has begun. That word new in the original language is about form and function. I am new. This person is new, and the function I have is new. Form and function. Okay, what else does it say about you and me? Brought us back to himself through Christ. We've been reconciled through Christ to God. No longer counting our sins against them. That's you. That's me. That has been expunged. So we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent him. Human bridges. Then it says, made right with God through Christ. That's verse 21. In spite of my sin and disobedience, I have a right standing with God. I can stand before, you can stand before a holy God and not be eviscerated, as wicked as we are, because of Christ. This is you. I'm talking about you. If you're a Christ follower, as God's partners, we're in the family. You're in the family business. You're a partner. Do you understand how ridiculous that sounds, to call somebody God's partner? But I didn't do it. You didn't do it. He did. I want to personalize these. I'm going to put these in I statements, and I'm going to say them, and then this may sound childish or whatever, but you're going to do what I say because I've got the microphone. I mean, that is the mantle of authority in America, the person who has the microphone. I want to personalize these. I'm going to say it, and then we're going to say it together. I am a new person with a new life. I am a new person with a new life. I no longer have a past that's hanging over me. I no longer have a past that is hanging over me. I am one who is reconciled to God. I am one who is reconciled with God. I represent God. God wants to speak through me. I am God's partner. See, we have to personalize those things, because it's talking about you. It's talking about me. If we're in Christ, that's who it's talking about. See, it's not just a beginning with how I view myself. It's not just about how you view, but that's where it starts. But it's also, this is our mission. This is the family business that we're in, that God has called us to be in. Paul breaks the mission down this way. There's two qualifying words that he uses that he slams up against reconciliation. Did you pick those out? Two different qualifying words. Task and message. He said, it's our task. It's something, a task is something that has been commanded that somebody executes. This is the task we've been given. But it's also called a wonderful message, and that is actually the word logos, which is word. The Bible describes Jesus as the word. So we not only have the task to do this, the word, the living word, can come through us, people like you and me, in order to build a bridge so somebody can get back to God. It's our mission. If we view ourselves differently, it starts with that. I am all those things, not because I think I'm great, but because God said I am, and I've been reconciled. Then we can be a church that can make disciples to the third and fourth generation. not just create programs that do that. We can be people that do that if we view ourselves differently. See, we have not just accepted Jesus, we have accepted his mission as our role as reconcilers, ambassadors, bridges. Somebody that helps bridge that over that thing that is between God and people. That's our mission. We got to view ourselves differently. We got to understand this is our mission. Here's your action step. Your action step is don't do anything. I came out of that with myself. Isn't that funny? Action, don't do anything. Are you with me? You get it? Never mind. Okay. That's a grenade. That'll blow up later. But seriously, don't do anything. I mean that. Now, don't fall asleep, but don't do anything. See, we have to be before we do. We have to be before we build. We got to build, but you got to be first. Who are you? You're all those things that God just said you are. And I am too. It begins with being, how we view ourselves in the areas of life, how I view myself when I'm at school, how I view myself when I'm at work, how I view myself in home, how I view myself when I'm shopping, how I view myself when I'm coaching, when I'm with my kid, whatever. How do I view myself? It starts with that. And that's about being, that's not about doing. Don't think about building anything. Just be. Accept who you are. That's who you are. That's who I am. See, by not doing anything and not trying to build something, you may notice that you've built some stuff that's wrong. You may notice that you built some walls. I know I've done that. I've looked around and thought, well, the things I was trying actually didn't build bridges, they built walls. So you may notice when you take a good look at the world and just take a pause, and I'm not going to jump into action, I'm going to understand who I am, that, wow, I've been building the wrong thing, and I didn't even know it. And I'm trying to, this is hard work, but I'm not trying to do anything when I'm coaching Midland High Tennis. I'm really trying to go there and think differently. Here's who I am. I bear the Holy Spirit. I'm in this context. Just help me think differently about myself. Go over to volunteer at I can't even get the name right, Central Park. I mean, I think of New York City, I think it's Central Park. That's our new adopted school. We just kind of all our kids went over there from East Lawn. I got to view myself differently. It's not about doing anything. We'll get to that, but it's about viewing myself differently and understand that that's why I'm there. That's why I'm at B-dubs. Probably too often. Yeah, okay, guilty as charged. But that waitress, that greeter that I got to know, that's why I'm there. It's no accident. It's not a random thing. And they have really good wings, too. I mean, there's that. So don't do anything. Just be. Maybe by settling down and thinking about who I am, that you couldn't say I on those I statements, because that isn't you yet. Maybe you haven't turned your life over to Christ. Maybe you haven't crossed the line of faith, been saved, whatever phrase you want. You haven't had that debt that's in the middle causing an issue justified so that the relationship can be justified. Maybe you haven't had that. That's where to start then. Because you got to be before you do. You got to be before you build. But we got to build. But be comes first. That's who you are. If we forget who we are, we're just people wandering around, banging into other people. And that's just a problem. Here's this verse that encapsulates that thought. Don't copy the behavior and actions of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Okay, I said don't do anything. I'm going to ask you to do one thing, but it's not a building thing. I'm going to challenge you to memorize 2 Corinthians 5, 16, 18, wherever you want to start, through 6:2. I'm going to challenge you to memorize that. What's that about? That's about reminding you who you are. Because out there, there's everybody going to tell you who you are. And their opinion's not better than anybody else's. But God says this is who you are in 2 Corinthians. And if you think, well, 2 Corinthians, you know, those people in Corinth were probably better. No, they were worse than you. If you've read the book, you know. Those people were a grease fire in the kitchen. They were a dumpster fire. They were a train wreck. And he said those things. So it's true about you and me. Oh, you got me worked up now. Well, you didn't do it. It's God's word. It got me worked up. Maybe if you can find a trigger when you're where you are that goes, okay, I'm not here by accident. I know what I'm about. I'm not going to try to do anything. I'm just going to think differently about my context and why I'm here. That'll be important. Let's talk a little bit about the build part. Build a bridge. That's the second part. First thing we need to know about this is how I view myself is revealed in what I build. How you view yourself will translate in what you build. You're going to build something with your life, but it starts with how you view yourself. I mean, we could talk for an hour about that one. We don't even need to justify that. You're going to build something in your life, and it's based on how you view yourself. Consumer Christians are going to build something. Ambassadors are going to build something different. That's a bridge. Typically, we build bridges or walls, but we can build other things. Sometimes we've been building bridges, but they don't direct people back to Christ. They aren't reconciling with God. But a lot of times, maybe we just notice we viewed ourselves as people that are in this world, and our job is to stay clean, not let this world screw with us and mess us up. See, if we view ourselves that way, what are you going to build? Well, because you got to protect yourself. Because, you know, once you get something dirty, it's never as clean again, is it? The clean part's God's business, all right? Are you justified? Have you been reconciled? Is that sin debt thing paid for? Then you're already clean. So what are we going to build? Here's the next part. We build by developing relationships out there. There's no other way around it. We have to build relationships with people that we work with, we go to school with, who don't know Christ and don't know yet who they are. How do we notice a good place to build? Well, first of all, where are you? Again, it's not a random act that you're where you are. God put you where you are. You may like where you are in life. You may not, but you're there. First, recognize that we aren't there by random, and then make a choice that I'm going to be a bridge here, and I'm going to see what happens. And here's what we look for. First thing we look for is brokenness. Not hard to find that. I can look in the mirror and see that. But there's brokenness. There's people that what they're doing, they know is not working. There's brokenness. Sometimes it's stuff we do to ourselves. People have done themselves. A lot of times it's something somebody did to them. But there's brokenness. Notice that. If I'm going to operate and view myself differently, then I have to notice brokenness around me. That's part of what pregnancy services is about. Next thing is that we have to have openness. We look for openness to change. Is there somebody that's now acknowledging verbally in relationship to me because God put me with them at work or school or whatever, they've acknowledged that, you know, the way I'm doing things is just not working anymore. You know? That dude on the team who slept with, you know, three or four girls, and finally he figures out that the last one that ditched him, he really did think he loved her, and he wasn't actually just amusing himself. And he figures out, this isn't working. I gotta have somebody that I'm gonna be with 29 years. What am I gonna do? So there's an openness to change. And looking for somebody who's spiritually awake. They're starting to ask questions about God. Deeper things than what's in front of their nose, the next thing that they need to do. They're asking questions about purpose and why I'm here and why do I keep stepping in it over and over? That's somebody coming awake. So we're building bridges where we're looking for those kind of things. And then we're about life We have to be about life on life with people. See, if you and I know who we are, and we build relationships with people who are broken, open to change, and spiritually waking up, then I think we can begin to act like ambassadors. God will do that work in you. See, some of you are getting nervous already because you think I'm going to be challenging you to do something crazy. No, first thing, don't do anything. Be. You got to be before you can do. You got to be before you can build. But we're going to build. And then just while you're acknowledging who you are in your context, look for these certain things. And then, you know what I think is going to happen? Because the Holy Spirit's in you, you're going to start building bridges. But it's not because you went out and said, I'm going to go build bridges. I'm just going to view myself differently in my world, and I'm going to look for these certain things. See, what we don't want to be here at Eagle Ridge is we don't want to be about you come in contact with people that are broken, wakening up and open to spiritual things and all that, and then you're waiting for a strategy, a program, or a professional like me to come in and say, you know what, okay, that's your friend, but I'll take it from here. Because I've gone pro in Christian. I think I threw up a little in my mouth when I actually said that. I think I did. People who are building bridges, don't need a professional to come along and straighten things up. Just be what you are in the context of this world. See, but there's more. We're going to together multiply into our community. What I've been talking about is you. We together, and Matt's going to be a big part of this, are looking to multiply. Not just do things that we can try to get more consumers in here. See, what we can do is try to do everything that we do flashier and better, and then we'll attract what? People who want to consume. We'll do it better than somebody else, and so they'll come here. This is not about addition by attracting people. This is about starting something separate that is another platform for disciples like you who are life on life, running into people who are broken, hurting, and they're coming spiritually awake, and it's someplace else. And it's not about this thing getting bigger. It's about the kingdom growing. So we're going to look to multiply. And I'm excited about that, and I'm scared to death about that. But I don't want to be around here 10 years later and say, yeah, we attracted a lot of people, and they came to consume. If God gives me another decade of gas in the tank before I start, you know, the body breaks down and the mind slips, and I just can't do it anymore, then I don't want to leave that. I just don't want to. Look at those last two verses. That last verse, 6:2. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Maybe today is the day for you that something has clicked in your mind. I want you to pray for us, some of our leaders, because we're going to be going to Nashville, Tennessee, not to listen to country music. There will be country music there. It's official. But there's a conference that we're going to get some resources of how we can become a church of disciples who make disciples, who make disciples to the third and fourth generation. Because we aren't yet. We just aren't. But we want to be. And that's what God's calling us to be. So I ask that you pray for us. Because that's what we want to do. And we're going to be asking questions about where God wants us to build. See, the larger topic of this is the kickoff. You need to know what that phrase is about that's all around the place. And maybe something's burning in you now. This is something I can get my teeth into. It's not just about coming to church anymore. But we're also going to be looking at the next four sermons about the culture that doesn't fight against it. This is a famous quote from Peter Drucker. It says, culture eats strategy for breakfast. You could put mission over that, or you could put vision over that instead of strategy thing. The culture that we have and create here will win over be a bridge, build a bridge. It absolutely will. It's not even a fair fight. It's like the freshman team against the varsity team. Flat. It will win every time. If we had another hour, I'd give you every example I can think of where somebody had a great vision, had something that God was calling to do, and the culture in that group, that church, that small group, that Bible study would not let it happen. So that's why we're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about our core values that are about creating that kind of culture. Last thing up on the screen, here's some good resources that are affecting. Well, I'm going to throw out resources to you anytime that something is affecting my thinking and helping me to point in the right direction. Anything from Discipleship is a great book, and Spark is a book by a group called Exponential. Almost all of their resources are completely free. You can download them, and I encourage you to do that. I feel like I spoke 1,000 miles an hour. I don't usually talk this fast. I'm kind of a slow talker. Deb Deal is, you know, nodding her head. And staff, I think sometimes you go, come on, Griner, get out with it. But this next slide is just a for what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the way you love us, the way you care for us, and that you said all those things about Bill Griner. You said all those things about the people in this room. And maybe you're speaking to somebody who can't say those things about themselves because they haven't stepped over that line of faith. They haven't trusted you to even the books, and they haven't trusted you to come close in relationship. I ask that you would speak to that person. But help us to become the kind of people that know where we are, that it isn't random, it isn't an accident. You put us there, and you want us to be bridges. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.